Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, son of suffering, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's our Redeemer. That's our Savior. One day every knee will bow and they will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But we here today won't be forced to. Today we joyfully and voluntarily submit ourselves to the Lordship of Christ and acknowledge Jesus Christ is Lord. And we praise him for that redemptive work. Take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. I tricked you, didn't I? You thought we'd be in Philippians. I just couldn't get it. That passage just kept coming to my mind as we continued to sing through that song, just rejoicing with Josh and with Lucian. I remember my baptism, Matt. I remember August 7th, 1988, because it was following what transpired on August 3rd, 1988, when the Lord saved this wretched, arrogant, prideful sinner and made me a child of God. And I had the opportunity to go through those baptismal waters and publicly acknowledge that Jesus Christ was Lord, life and my love, new love, unashamedly professing that before the world. So excited about the opportunity that we have to look into the Word of God because of all that he's done for us. Ephesians 5, I'm going to get you to turn to verse 18. Now, when I said Ephesians 5, some of you said, wait a second, that sounds familiar. I knew K-Mac was going to be preaching from Acts 2 last week as I was preparing Ephesians 5, just really felt burdened to go to Ephesians 5. And then if you were here last week, you were with me when he said, now turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Now this may not have happened in your heart, but it happened in mine sitting right over there. Uh-oh. But that's okay. That's okay. The Lord's kept us here in Ephesians 5. We're going to look at it, focus on a different passage from Ephesians 5 and from a different perspective, but so grateful to be looking into the Word. One more thing, I will be reading from the New King James. It's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. 30 years, I am accustomed to the New King James. This old dog's going to try to learn a new trick. I do like the way the ESV reads, so I'm not against it at all. It's just, man, my brain keeps going to New King James, so I said, well, I'm going to give them... give me a few weeks so that my mind can be retrained. And so may not be what you have in front of you as far as translation, but it's the Word of God. Ephesians 5, verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. I love my dad. He passed away in 2019. My dad was a beach bum. He used to race sailboats. He grew up on the beach. He took us to the beach all the time. That was my dad. Well, my mom had a younger brother. His name was David. And that younger brother, Uncle David, was a teenager when my mom and dad were married. And so one day, my dad and my uncle, my teenage uncle David, were swimming in the Gulf and decided to swim out to a sandbar. So he swam out and got to the sandbar, and they hung out on that sandbar for a little while. And while they rested, before swimming back to the beach, my dad was looking around toward the deeper waters. And suddenly, he saw a shark fin heading right toward them. He quickly yelled, "Shark!" and grabbed my Uncle David and threw him toward the shark fin and began to swim for the shore. It is true. This is not one of those preacher stories. I heard it from the man himself. When my uncle hit the water, the shark lifted his head. It wasn't a shark at all. It was a snorkeler. And the fin was the snorkel. My dad surprisingly loved to tell that story. I will tell you, I'll just as a disclaimer, I was surprised to hear that my dad did this because it was so unlike the dad that I knew. But evidently, when he was a younger man, he was a little bit different. But I'll never forget the way he would always close this story when he told it. I had the opportunity to preach his funeral, and yes, I told this story. But he would tell that story, and then he would say this: "That was the day I found out what kind of man I really was. That was the day I found out what kind of man I really was." Let me ask you, did that ever happen to you on a spiritual level, in a spiritual sense? If you've ever come to faith in Christ, it has. Because the Holy Spirit of God illuminated your mind and your heart, and you saw your sin, and for the first time you saw yourself condemned and guilty before God. But even as a believer, there are times when we bump up against everyday life and we find out what kind of man or what kind of woman we really are. If we're honest, we'll admit that we've all been there. We struggle in our marriages. We struggle in our parenting. We struggle in our parenting. We struggle in our parenting. We struggle in our... My kids are coming to the second service, so I can get them. We struggle in our singleness. We struggle in our thought life. We struggle in our emotions. And we're confronted over and over again with what the Scriptures call us to. And it seems like the more and more we look to what the Scriptures call us to, the more and more we realize that's not a reality right here. In reality, we need those humbling moments when God interrupts our everyday living with a sanctifying opportunity to see what we are blind to, or perhaps even what we refuse to acknowledge. Maybe we think we're a joyful person, and then we run across Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And even think about the fact that that was written by Paul from chains and imprisonment. Yeah, okay, so maybe I'm not so joyful after all. Or how about in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Man, I am so thankful for the blessings and wonderful times and the wonderful gifts. But what about everything? Or how about priding ourselves in being a loving person? Man, I love Brother Tommy. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love my friends. I love most of my family. And then we run across Matthew 7, where Jesus just calls us on the carpet and says, "You've heard it said, you're to love your neighbor, but I say to you, love your enemies." And we, like my dad, say, that's the day I found out what kind of spiritual man I really am. And down comes any pride, down comes any self-sufficiency, and we're humbled before a holy God. If we don't allow it to humble us, we may be in bad shape. I'll tell you, sometimes these can be crushing. And we may come to the point we say, this is impossible. It's impossible. Love my enemies. Give thanks in everything. Rejoice in the Lord always. Love my wife as Christ loved the church. Hey, I'll get to that in a minute. I got the best wife in the world. And that's impossible. If you come to the place where you say, I can't do it, my friend, you are not far from walking in victory. You say, Jeff, what? You're not far from walking in victory. Major Ian Thomas is well known for a quote of his. He said this, you can't. He never said you could. He can. He always said he would. Now you're talking about spiritual living. You say, but Jeff, Paul said, I can do all things. He sure did. Why don't you read the rest of it? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Yeah. You can't do it. The Christian life is not difficult. It's impossible apart from Christ, apart from the Lord Jesus, apart from His, getting to the text, Holy Spirit. If we're to live a life that pleases our Lord, we must live out of His resources, not our own. I fear most of us live out our Christian lives like the man who was given his first car. He was so excited to have the car. He had heard about this car, and he couldn't wait to have his car, and then it was given to him. He put his bags in the back seat, closed the door, then got behind the car and began to try and push the car down the road to his house. Didn't take very long at all for him to become frustrated, defeated, and want to push that car off in the ditch. And then Brother Tommy came along. He said, my friend, I use you for a bad illustration, so I figured I'd use you for some good illustrations too. My friend, let me help you a little bit. Come with me. And he takes him to the front of the car, and he pops the hood. He said, let me introduce you to the engine. You see, I think sometimes we tend to live our lives like that man trying to push the car, the whole time neglecting the very resource that the manufacturer put under the hood, the engine. Paul would say it this way, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Straighten out one thing, help us to understand this, and then we'll jump right into the text. Romans 8, verses 9 through 11, John 14, verse 17, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 6, Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14, and a plethora of other passages help us to understand that it is, in God's economy, when He saves a sinner, and He gives us life, He places His Holy Spirit within us. He indwells us with His Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, when He indwells us, when God saves us, He seals us with the Holy Spirit, all of Him. I was 14 years old. I didn't get the junior teenage Holy Spirit. I got the full real deal. I didn't get part of the Holy Spirit. I got all of the Holy Spirit. We don't get a little more of Him and lose some of Him and then have to be filled with more of Him again. And being filled with the Spirit is not us getting more of Him. That's just, I'm getting ahead of myself, but being filled with the Spirit is really Him getting more of us. Because we've got all of the Holy Spirit we'll ever get, all of Him, when we are redeemed and saved and sealed with the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit abides in us as believers. Now, this text is going to give us instruction concerning God's resource, the life within us for our spiritual life. And it comes by way of a command. Look in chapter 5, verse 18. As I put it in second gear and speed up a little bit. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but, here it is, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit is interpreted a lot of different ways, and we're not going to get into all of the ways that this passage has been abused and misinterpreted, but let's just look at What does being filled with the Spirit mean? We'll start with the definition of that word filled. Greek scholars in here will butcher me for the way that I pronounce this Greek word, but plerao, my best Southern Alabama attempt at it, filled, be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? It means to diffuse throughout, to totally saturate, to consume. It controls. It means to have a dominating influence on something. An illustration that's often used to illustrate the definition of this word is as the winds fill the sails of a sailboat, as they fill the sails of a sailboat and move the boat along in its course, similarly the believer who is filled, controlled, influenced dominatingly by the Holy Spirit is moved along the track or the course of the Word of God. That's what it means, that word means filled, to be dominated, to be controlled by. Second, and most clearly it's understood here in the text of Ephesians 5 with Paul's intentional contrasting illustration. If you notice, verse 18 doesn't start be filled with the Spirit. It starts with a negative command. It says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. Do not be drunk with wine. Do not be controlled or intoxicated or under the influence of wine or alcohol or anything else other than the Spirit of God. We've all seen it when someone is under the influence, when they are drunk on alcohol, they'll say things they never would say. They'll do things they would not normally do. Why? Because the alcohol is controlling their mind, their emotions, and their will. Their inhibitions go down, and because the wine is controlling or influencing. That's the picture. Paul says, no, don't be drunk with wine, which leads to dissipation or excess, prodigal living, but be filled, rather be filled, be controlled by the Spirit of God. Matt Tester, pastor of Liberty Baptist Church in Ellenboro, North Carolina, explains that this controlling influence of the Holy Spirit is in three dimensions. He captures the mind, he constrains the emotions. How many of us need our emotions constrained sometimes? Okay. Constrains the emotions and conquers the will. Can I just sum that up? The whole person under the controlling influence of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Also, we take a look at the fact that be filled with the Spirit is a command. Present tense, passive voice. Present tense, meaning it could be read, be being continually filled. It's an ongoing, continuous action. This is not a one-time event. Indwelling of the Holy Spirit, when you're saved and the Holy and God puts the Holy Spirit within you, one-time event, never to change, sealed to the day of redemption. Never going to go anywhere. You're not going to lose Him. Filling of the Holy Spirit, be filled continually. Also, it's passive voice. This means that the subject, this would be the Ephesian believers that Paul is writing to, by extension, us, the believer, the subject is the recipient of the verb. This is something that is happening to us by someone else. Here, the Holy Spirit does it to us. So it's an imperative command to me that God does to me. How do I obey that? I'm glad you asked. How can I obey the command to be filled with the Spirit if it's something that He does to me and it's to be an ongoing, continual action? Yield, surrender to the Spirit of God by faith, allowing Him to do whatever He wants to do. Here it is. Lord, I'm obeying the imperative command to be filled. Lord, I present myself. If it means confessing sin, if it means acknowledging wrong heart, whatever, I come and confess. Lord, I'm yielding myself to You. Lord, have control of my life. And it's a faith response to that truth. You know, when you think about this, practically, we're helped from Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians 5, they're kind of partner passages. You read through them, they're very similar. Listen to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That sounds a lot like Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Here's the difference. Ephesians says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Colossians 3 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, singing together. Here it is. You want to know what it practically looks like to be filled with the Spirit? Being filled with the Spirit, yielding yourself to control of the Spirit, letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. There's no filling of the Spirit of God apart from being controlled by the word of God. So practically, when we come in obedience to this command to be filled with the Spirit, we've got the word of God in mind. Lord, I'm ready to obey. Do everything that you say. So you think about it, it's really about staying rightly related to God. Matthew 22, Jesus says, love the Lord your God. They ask, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second's likened to it. You see, and everything else hangs on that. What's priority? Loving him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Staying rightly related to him. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man abides in me, remains in me, and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. It's about staying rightly related to the Lord. The branch in the vine, staying rightly related to him. Being filled with the Spirit is being yielded, surrendered, and rightly related to him at all times, ready to obey however he leads for us to go. Practical illustration. Persons facing difficult circumstances in life, they're becoming anxious and stressed. In response, the one who is filled with the Spirit says no to wine or anything else to deal with the issue as the answer to their anxiousness, and instead surrenders their mind, emotion, and will to the Spirit of God through yielding to the Word of God. We say, well, what Word of God? Bet somebody in here is already thinking it. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. The Word says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Under the control of the Spirit of God, their mind is captured by the Word of God. Their emotions are constrained through the Word of God. They walk in the peace of God, and their will is conquered, and they're just ready to stay rightly related to God. While there's much confusion over what being filled with the Spirit is, it's not an ecstatic emotional experience or one-time event. It is a moment-by-moment Spirit-controlled life, a surrender to who God is and what He says. It's a continual, nonstop making myself available to the control of the Spirit of God. Amen. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit of God that abides and lives in you, believer. But it has tangible results. Not only are we to be filled, but we are to see filled. We're to see tangible fruit from being filled with the Spirit. And the text enumerates three characteristics. Obviously, you're going to have the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control will begin to be demonstrated through the life of the one who is controlled by the Spirit of God. But in this text, it identifies three things: speaking or singing, giving thanks, and submitting to one another. Real quick, look real quick at why don't I get back to Ephesians instead of Colossians? Ephesians chapter 5. Just as do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, there's a fruit from that, the works of the flesh. Be filled with the Spirit, and then the fruit comes afterwards. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing is a fruit of being filled with the Spirit. And as we walk through these, just continue to ask yourselves, am I filled with the Spirit? Are these tangible fruits and evidences being displayed in and through my life? The song of the Spirit-filled life. These are obviously not rap battles spoken of in Ephesians 5:19. If you don't know what I'm talking about with a rap battle, it's kind of when two people, they're on a stage and they got the beats going, and it's like a spontaneous rap. One raps insults and put downs to the other, and then they take turns going back and forth insulting one another. These are not rap battles. No insults here, no harshness or criticism here, no selfishness here. These songs are psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. These are songs rooted in genuine praise and doctrinal truth. These are songs that are rooted in Old Testament psalms. These are New Testament truths about the Lord Jesus that you sing. We've done it this morning as we sang together. Spiritual songs, possibly songs of testimony, where we're rejoicing in those truths because they're a reality in my life, and I just can't help it, Brother DJ. I just got to sing about it. I've got a song in my heart, and it just won't stay inside. One who is filled with the Spirit has a song. These songs are heart songs, expressions of joy that come from a heart who recognizes and appreciates the grace of redemption. You know, thinking about the singing of the Spirit-filled person makes me wish that there was some biblical account of someone spontaneously singing out of the overflow of a heart yielded to Jesus. I just think it would be really helpful if maybe they were even in difficult circumstances. I mean, could you imagine if there was an account of one of the apostles who was faithfully preaching the gospel and then he was beaten for it and then put in prison, and then you all of a sudden hear him singing? That would be helpful. Oh wait, that's Acts 16. That's Paul and Silas in prison in Philippi. Those old boys were beaten. They were bleeding. They were in chains. And they were singing. Why? Because they'd experienced the grace of God, and the grace didn't stay because they were filled with the Spirit. And it just came out in a song. He said, Jeff, those are horrible circumstances. Circumstances don't matter a lick. Circumstances go up and down and all around. Jesus is always the same. He's always good. And I love when you go back to the passage, it says, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing. You know, I just think, as they were praying, they were yielding to the Spirit. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we trust you. Lord, we yield ourselves to you. Silas, I got a song. What key are we going to sing it in? The key of joy. And they begin to sing. And the prisoners were listening. Man, that ended up turning into a ministry opportunity, but I don't have time for that. Song. Song in our heart. That's right. And I got time for it. You get with me later. I'm watching that clock. I'm watching that clock. Gratitude. Speaking to one another in Psalms. Well, let me make this. We sing to the Lord, but verse 19, speaking to one another, that's laleo, it's almost like la la la. You ever been around those people? It's like they don't even realize they're doing it. La la la. That word speaking to one another. That's what it has. So we're singing to God, but we're also speaking and communicating to one another. It's kind of like anybody come in here today? You know, man, I just don't feel like singing. And then all of a sudden the worship team begins to sing. And you begin to listen to everybody else singing. In Christ alone, my hope is found. All of a sudden, why am I so downcast? Oh, my soul, put your hope in God. It's like Brother Jason singing just got me stirred up because he began to sing the Psalms, the truths and realities of Scripture and who I am in Christ, who he is in me. And all of a sudden, you know what left my mind? My mind was controlled by the Spirit of God, so I was thinking about the Word of God, and I was thinking about how good he was, and next thing I know, I was singing. Singing to God, but to one another. That's why we sing when we gather together. Okay, real quick. Gratitude. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks. Gratitude. Here it is. Always. For all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's how a Spirit-filled believer can be thankful in all things. Because regardless of the circumstances, God doesn't change. And there's something about this circumstance that I can be thankful for. If it's horrible, I can at least be thankful that, God, you're using this for my good and your glory. This is for my spiritual maturity. And I can thank him for it. In everything, give thanks. No griping, no whining, no complaining. That's painful. No high-mindedness that makes me think that I deserve better than what God has allotted me with these circumstances. Just a grateful response due to the recognition of the goodness of God. It's a continual giving of thanks always for all things. And finally, the submission of the Spirit-filled life. That word submitting to one another in the fear of God, it was a Greek military term meaning to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion under the command of a leader. And there is that application of the verb a little further down the text when it speaks about roles. But in non-military use, it was a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. It's us existing one with another in humility, putting one another first, serving, submitting. It's Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Submission, gratitude, a song of grace in my heart and life that's going to come out. As we wrap it up, if we're not filled with the Spirit and we are displaying harshness and bitterness rather than a gracious song, if we're complaining, griping, and discontent rather than being thankful with gratitude, if we're demanding and selfish rather than humbly serving and submitting to one another, do you know where it will most readily show up? In our relationships. In our relationships. You say, Jeff, why do you say that? Well, just take a peek at verse 22. Follow it all the way down to chapter 6, verse 4. All of this just continues the fruit and evidence of being filled with the Spirit. When one is filled with the Spirit, they've got a gracious song. They're filled with gratitude. They're submitting to one another. And it affects the home. Wives submitting and respecting their husbands. Husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Fathers raising, and parents by extension, raising your children up in the fear and nurture and admonition of the Lord. Children obeying your parents in the Lord, for this is right, honoring them. It goes right on into the workplace. But can I also say, when you're filled with the Spirit, you know where it's going to most readily show up? In your relationship. So, if we were to isolate the application of this passage, and I don't mean that's the application, the only application, but just to follow along with this, if we were just to isolate the application of this passage to our families, coming to understand this truth, let's think about how that might be applied. We humble ourselves before God and acknowledge to Him our desperate need of Him. Lord, I can't live this out apart from your Spirit. I have a desperate need of you. We would thank him for indwelling us with his Spirit, his resource for us to be enabled to live out what he's called us to live, to empower and enable us. And we would trust in his power and yield to his word. Then on a horizontal level, husband and wife looking eye to eye, acknowledging these things to one another. Wife, I've not loved you as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I want to, but and I just fail and fail and fail. But today, I'm reminded that I can't, but he can. Amen. And so, I want you to know that I'm gonna yield to him and yield to his Spirit. And I'm praying that God would love me, love you through me, and help me to do just that. And on a horizontal level, then praying together, acknowledging these things to one another, then praying together in dependence upon his Spirit and obedience to his word. Then parents sitting down with children and just being honest. Man, have I blown it sometimes. But the Lord's showing me today that I can't do this apart from him. And I'm freshly coming to yield to his Spirit to allow him to enable me and empower me to obey this truth. And so I want you to know that I'm trusting him and I want you to pray for me. Children, sitting down with your parents, acknowledging the reality of your inability to do what can only be done through the power of your Holy Spirit, and do what is just not popular. Obey your parents and honor them. Not a one-time event, but a moment-by-moment journey in dependence upon the Spirit of God while you obey the Word of God. Can I tell you, you say, Jeff, aren't we doing a series? Yep. Healthy churches, healthy church members. There will be no healthy church and no healthy church member apart from being filled with the Spirit. However, the Spirit of God has taken the Word of God and spoken to your heart today. I'm going to encourage you. Respond to Him. As our worship team comes forward, I'm going to pray. Man, I think we stand, right? Yeah. Let's stand together as they come and as they play. You respond however the Lord would lead you. Pastors are down front. Lord, we're so grateful that you have given us your Holy Spirit to enable us to do what we cannot do. Lord, you did not save us and leave us to our own devices and our own resources. But Lord, you said, apart from you, we can do nothing. So today, may we freshly yield to your Spirit in obedience to your word and allow you to influence, control, and lead our lives for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name.